I don't know about you, but I have a hard time remembering important things. I don't know if it's your problem, but we all are challenged to remember important things like passwords, telephone numbers, even names. One time, as I was beginning my first year in ministry, I was doing a baptism. And this was my very first baptism. The first candidate came down the stairs into the baptistry, and I said to her, "Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart?" She said, "Yes, I do." "Will you serve him all your days?" She said, "Yes, I will." I baptized her, and she went out of the baptistry. Next candidate came down. I said to him, "Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Do you love Jesus as your personal Savior?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Will you serve him all your days?" He said, "Yes, I will." I put him beneath the water, and he walked out of the baptistry. The third candidate came down. As Barbie was making her way down the steps, I was going through all that I was going to say. She came into the water, and I said to her, "Barbie, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" She said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Will you serve him all your days?" She said, "Oh, yes, I will." And I said, "On this profession of faith, I now pronounce you." I wasn't doing a wedding. I was doing a baptism. I forgot. It's that kind of thing, isn't it, in our lives where we forget important things? We have an important date that we want to remember, sending a birthday card to somebody, and we forget. Now, honey, don't forget, when you go to the get gas, pick up a gallon of milk. We forget. We get the gas, we don't get the milk. We forget important things. And when we forget important things, we miss out on what we're called to do and to be. That's the challenge that Paul is laying out to the people on the island of Crete through Titus. He's writing to Titus on this little island with a few words. It's a short letter, but it's a letter of reminding them of what they are to do and to be. It's important. Important enough for him to put it down into a letter. It's a reminder note to them as he's reminding them what's important to remember. And as we look at this brief portion of this letter this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what is Paul telling Titus to tell those who are on the island of Crete that they might remember what is important? Would you turn to Titus chapter 3? Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. That's Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And what we're going to look for is what Paul says is important to remember. Paul writes, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Here's Paul's little note to Titus, a little letter that he's reminding him of something he doesn't want him to forget, so that he might pass it on to other people so that they wouldn't forget either. And what is it that Paul is wanting to stress to Titus? What's important for us as well? Not only for the Cretans, but for us as well. What are we to do? We are to remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. You see that here in verse 3, don't you? At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. It's a rich, difficult, turgid biography, isn't it? It's a biography that many of us could say it's ours as well. I don't need to go back to explain each one of these words to you. You know what it means to be disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived, he says, in malice and envy. He's talking about remembering what it was like. Remember where you came from, he says to these Cretan Christians, telling Titus to help them to remember, helping us to remember. If I took a microphone and went around this room and asked you to remember where you came from, if you're a believer this day and you look back over the shoulder of your life and I put the microphone in your face or in your face or in your face, you probably would compliment the list that Paul gives us here. We can tell others what our lives were really like. I know I can. I come from a non-Christian home, a home where I was not raised in the faith. My father was an alcoholic. There was swearing words about Jesus than any kind of proclamatory praise. That was my life, a difficult, challenging life. And for many of you, you could have the same testimony, the same background, the same experience, where you can look back on your own life and say, this is where I came from. This is what it was like. And for some of you sitting here today, it may be that you have still a life that's being lived in that difficult, dark, and challenging way, where you yourself see the desire to break forth and move out of it. But for those of you who know what it's like to remember where you came from, I want you to pull out your bulletin for a moment. If there's a piece of a pen or something, and I wanted you to write a word down or a phrase. Write a word down or a phrase that says what you remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. What would be the word that you would describe yourself? What would be the phrase that you would put down? What would you say? Write it down, because these help us to remember where we came from. Your words that you wrote down may not be my words, but they're your words, your biography, your recognition of where you came from. Sometimes it's something that we really don't even want to think about. We don't really want to consider the place where we came from because it might be so difficult or so dark or so horrific. But the reality is that when we come to terms with where we've come from, we understand who we are. That we recognize that, as Paul reminds Titus, on this island, there was a word that described the Cretan culture. It was a word that was created for them. It was the word kritizo, which is a Greek word which means to lie. Do you hear the word there? tizo, to lie. They were characterized by the way in which they lied. As mentioned earlier in our worship time of singing that in prayer that we have a God who does not lie. Paul mentions that at the beginning of this letter. He said, that's your biography. That's where you once were. But coming to terms with that helps us to understand ourselves. Remember where you came from. But not only are we to remember where we came from, but Paul helps us to see here in this text that we are to remember how we got here. Right here at that shift after verse 3, there's a wonderful word that I love to see, and it's the word but. Do you see? At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. Our story shifts because of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's what He has done in us. It's something that we can't even do or something that we can't even deserve. Paul wrote this same word to the Ephesian Christians. He said, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone can boast. No one. We can't boast about coming to Christ. Christ boasts in us. And He draws us to Himself. And here in this marvelous text, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. He appeared. It is this appearing in our lives that makes us who we are. Remember who you are. You are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. If you've embraced Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a changed person. You are a new person. What the first part of remember where you came from now shifts into remember who you are. Remember who we are and what we have here in Christ. Remember how you got here. It's by Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. In Christ alone I take my stand, right? It's this wonderful reality of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has changed us. And we are grateful for what He has done. I'm sure that many of you can say that. My life, you say, has been changed by Jesus Christ. He reached into the depths of my own life and drew me to Himself. It showed me who He is. He appeared. And my life has never been the same. It is this changed life that makes all the difference. And it's a life because of Christ. I know that's the case for me as well. I don't know where I would be without the Savior. I don't know how my life would be different if I had not come to Jesus Christ. I do not understand what my life would look like. You probably would say, I don't understand what my own life would look like without Jesus Christ. He has made the difference, hasn't He? He has made the ultimate difference in our lives. I know some might say, well, yeah, that's great, Gibson, but I'm fine myself. I can do it on my own. I can live this life. I can do it just fine. Thank you very much. But the scriptures say that kind of approach is wrong. That we cannot pull ourselves up to salvation. We cannot pull ourselves up to God by our own efforts. It's only by God's great work in us that is poured out on us, as it says here, lavishly, generously. And it is this truth that sets up itself against our own self-truth. And it's always the scriptures that win. It's always God's truth that wins because He is a God who does not lie. It is this great God who encourages us through His Word to recognize who He is and how we got to where we are. And we got to where we are by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Yeah, we are to remember where we came from. We are to remember how we got here. But also, we want to remember how we want to remember where we're going. To remember where we're going recognizes what's the result of this. That is, as we look here in this text, we see here that Paul writes to Titus and he says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God," I'll do a Charles Stanley, listen, okay? This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. It's this trustworthy saying, the trustworthy saying of what Jesus Christ has done, and verse 7 at the end of it, the hope that we have in eternal life. The hope of eternal life. What does that mean? That means for us, and it means for the context for where Titus is to remind the people of who they are, where they've come from, how they've gotten there, and what that looks like in living out their lives. That's the same for us. What we see here is the importance of remembering what it means to constantly keep focused on this God who took us to where we are. That means that it's an old Bible word. It means that this old Bible word is something that's with us all the time. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we repent. We turn away from these things that displease God. The envy and the malice, the hating and hating one another, all of that. We turn away from that. But it's a constant turning. It's a constant looking. It's a constant giving ourselves every single day. And our lives are forever changed. I did an ordination of one of my students a few years ago. And I was talking with him about how he came to faith in Christ and what it means to give himself to God in the living of his life. He said, Mike said he came from a home where there was divorce, there was a challenge of resources. It was a tough experience. And yet he came to faith and he said, "When I became a believer, I always knew that God had called me to be a pastor. I knew that that's what I was supposed to do." And he kept that in view always. It is something that he saw what he wanted to do, what he sensed God calling him to do, and he kept it always. Situations would face him, temptations would come, turn away, focus, turn, go. Isn't that what we're called to do? The difficulties that we face in our lives, whether it's the pursuit of money as our God, the pursuit of relationships as our God, we are constantly being turned toward that which pleases God, turning towards that. And I know it's not easy. Former professor of mine told me about his student, Bill. Bill had graduated from seminary, and Bill was always looking to find the right people to connect with. Just the important people, you know, to be connected with those people. And Dr. Callan was concerned about this, and he said to him, "Don't forget about Jesus." As the years went on, sometimes Bill would see Dr. Callan and he'd say, "I haven't forgot Jesus." But the initial assessment that Dr. Callan had of Bill actually turned out to be true. Because what Bill did was he got involved in an adulterous affair. His ministry crumbled. The church was harmed. His children were distanced from him. Yeah. He forgot where he came from. He forgot how he had gotten there, and he had forgotten where he was going. He lost his way. And the call for us, the call for you and for me, is constantly keeping ourselves turned toward our great God, turned toward the calling that we have in living out our lives, to please Him, to honor Him, to give ourselves to Him in every nook and cranny of our lives, in the decisions that we make about our money, in the ways in which we raise our children, in the determination of our future employment. All of these areas of our lives, whether it's being a good and helpful neighbor or a patron at a restaurant and how you treat the wait staff, we are called to be the kind of person that turns our lives to honor Him and pushing away those things that would get in the way. Because as we look at this text, yes, we are told, remember where you came from. Remember how you got here. Remember where you're going. But what's the purpose of all of that? What is the purpose of having this memory of being able to remember the important things? It's, as the text tells us, it's to do good. And that's what the push of this text is telling us. That's the pulse of this text. And it is this: do good by remembering where you came from, how you got here, and where you're going. Doing good. You see that in this text. In the first couple of verses, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. That is, it's saying that being subject to rulers and authorities and obedient is doing good. It's also pointed out here that in verse 4, this kindness and love, or actually can be translated goodness of our God. And then Paul underscores here in verse 8, so that those who have trusted in God, believers in Jesus Christ, may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. This theme of doing good is part of the heartbeat of this letter. Just before here in chapter 2, Paul is writing to Titus and saying that in the last part of verse 14, he says that he purified, God in Christ purified for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now, when we think of good, doing good, we think of being a good Boy Scout and helping an old lady across the street, or doing these tasks that are in and of themselves good deeds. We're good deed doers. But there's a reason why we are called to do good, and that is to honor and please God. It is, in many ways, the way in which we demonstrate who we are in Christ. The way we treat people is to be good. The way we look at our government is to be good, praying for them. Like our prayer this morning, that is a good thing to do. Having a relationship with folks and as our neighbors and reaching out to them, that is a good thing to do. People with whom we work, the kinds of conversations that we have with them that build a relationship so that they get to know you, and as they get to know you, they get to know this good God whom you, through your goodness, is expressing to others. It's not doing a good deed in order to get into heaven. It isn't doing good deeds in order that God will have favor on us. The good deeds that we do are reflective of the personality of God in us. It is an evangelistic lifestyle. It is a God-honoring lifestyle. Because when we think about these words, when we see them in black and white on paper, we often will think, do good, and they become empty tasks. But they are actually descriptors of our biography in Christ. You do good by remembering where you came from and how you got here and where you're going. And it is this doing good is lived out in everyday life. That's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about where you've come as you've moved from where you were to how you got there, to where you're going, and recognize that this all takes place in doing good. Doing good to honor God. Could be small tasks, could be large tasks. It's an attitude. It's an action. It's Christ being shaped in us because this good God has now become good in us through Christ. Now, can you think of some people whom you can reach out to? Maybe it's the neighbor that you haven't gotten to know. Maybe the neighbor is new, or it's a neighbor who's been there quite a long time. And you don't even know if he or she is a believer. Can you think of a way in which to reach out to him or her? How about a colleague at work? Are you willing to listen to somebody who needs a listening ear? And all the while, it's the beginning of goodness that opens up the great goodness that God has for them in Jesus Christ. We may think that, I'm not an evangelist here, okay? I don't get on the back of the truck with a loudspeaker and say, hey, you need to repaint and thin no more. You need to get saved. Our gentle lives of goodness can make a world of difference in people's lives. Do good by remembering where you came from, how you got here, and where you're going. This happens to us as far as a reminder of what's important every month when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. What does Pastor Dana say, or Pastor Jonathan say, as they stand up? Do this what? In remembrance of me. In remembrance of me, of what I did, Jesus says, what I've done for you. And it makes us fall in love with the wonder of who he is, of what he's done for us. It is this remembering the important things that helps us to do good, to make a difference. Now, you still, I hope, have your worship folder here. And you have on here a phrase, a word that notes where you came from. We talked about how you got here by the power of Jesus Christ. And we talked about continuously recognizing that we remember where we're going. But we do all of this in order to reflect our good God by doing good. So let me ask you, what's one or two things that you could do to show others the good that God has done in you? Will you pull that out again and just write a couple of things down? It might be sending a card to a lonely neighbor. It might be praying for unsaved family members. It might be smiling at the clerk at CVS. What is it that we could do that would begin to help us to show the good that God has done in us? Because we want to put feet on our remembering. We want to make it walk in the lives of those whom we touch. Because the challenge for us as believers is not just to remember, but to engage and to do. That's why he says, do good. So as we think about this incredible text, as we think about this challenge, we recognize that it's not easy, but we can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who renews us and continues to renew us as we live our lives for Him. Do good by remembering where you came from, how you got here, and where you're going. And if you can do that, God will be pleased. Because this is something, the text says, that is profitable for everyone. Everyone who does this, remembers and does good, will be benefited by doing it and will benefit those who receive it. And God will receive the glory. Brothers and sisters, do good by remembering where you came from, how you got here, and where you're going, so that you might honor the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, just like the tragic bombing of Pearl Harbor, the words of reminder were never forget, never forget, never forget. Help us never to forget our own biography and how you've changed us and how you've commissioned us not just to remember but to do, and to do the good that you've called us to do, because you are the good God who's done your good work in us, and we are forever, forever, forever thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.